Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here tonight with co-host Madison Bennett. Yeah, Maddie, do you have a middle name or don't you like to share it?
I can share it. It's Madeline. So it's Madison Madeline Bennett.
You
don't ask
that,
me why.
Yeah. So Maddie Bennett.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Well, that's a good one. I like that. Anyway, we're here with Maddie Bennett, and she's our co-host tonight. And if you want to, tonight is an open show, meaning that you get to be the guest. You get to determine the direction of our conversation. Maybe you have a topic that you say, if you could answer this for me, it'd be very helpful to me. So I'm going to call and ask this question on estate planning or income taxes or your 401k or IRAs or Roth conversions or college planning or elder care planning or whatever the case may be. If it deals with your personal finances, we're here to help you and answer that for you. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask those questions. If you want to direct the conversation tonight, because you're our guest, that's what we do open shows. We do them so that we can demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor should do for you. And we also do it so that we can be helpful to you in any questions that you have that, you know, maybe give you some direction on something you're struggling with and so forth. So 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And as you choose to call in or not, we get to ramble on about some topic. And Maddie had a good one we'll address. That was, she wanted to talk about what states to retire in and so forth. Is there anybody on the line, Maddie? I'd assume not.
It looks like somebody's on the line now and she's getting their information.
Well, you know, why don't you go ahead? If you were going to retire right now, I know you're a little way from retirement, maybe
yes.
40 years, but if you were going to retire, where would you go?
I think I might follow you down to Florida. I'm sick of the cold up here.
Sick of the cold and sick of the taxes,
yes,
right?
You know?
And so that would be a good way to go. Florida. What's another tax-free state on the East Coast, do you know?
Delaware.
No, Delaware's the tax-free for state income taxes and
very
low on property taxes, but they're not income tax-free.
Right. We've got Tennessee.
Tennessee is a good one. Yep, absolutely. And New Hampshire.
Yes,
New Hampshire's a little colder for what you were just stating a little bit ago.
Yeah, it goes south, not north.
Going to the south. There
yes.
you go. That's a good one, you know. But, you know, everybody's different. You know, lowering income taxes may be good for Joe, but John may not pay a lot of income taxes, even in Maryland. Right?
Right.
So Delaware may be better for those people who don't pay a lot of income taxes because you eliminate your sales tax and dramatically reduce your property tax by moving out of Maryland and so forth.
Right.
So do you have your caller online? Yeah.
So we've got Ralph online.
Ralph, how can we help you?
Hello. Wow. Good evening. Hey, I'm 65 and 9 months old. And so I'm still working and I didn't do anything when I turned 65 because I know I had to an L-564 when I retire.
Right.
Recently, someone said, well, you should have applied for Part A. Is that, did I mess up? Or?
Well, no, not necessarily. So you still have medical insurance with your current company, right?
Yes, yes.
And your current company has a lot more than 20 people working for it, correct?
Yes, thousands.
Okay, so thousands. So do you happen to have a health savings account that you contribute to?
No.
Okay. So then you could sign up for Medicare Part A, and that would cover hospitals as a supplemental to your medical insurance that you have with your company. And it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to do that as long as you don't have a health savings account and contributing to it. And there's no cost for Medicare A because you've been paying that in taxes since you were a little young person earning your first salary. Okay?
All right. So I didn't mess up on the 3-month rule by not doing it.
No. You can sign up for Medicare A anytime you want to. There's no L-564s. There's no nothing. It's free. That's why there's no penalty. There's a penalty on Part B because there's a premium you have to pay. So people would say, well, I don't want to pay the premium now. I'll wait until I get sick to sign up for it. And they say, no, you can't do that. We're going to penalize you. Because there's no premium you pay with Medicare A, there's no problem with signing up for it. All right?
Now I'm still employed, but right now I'm on medical leave, so that doesn't – I'm still getting my insurance from my employer, so that doesn't
– As long as your employer still has your insurance, you're good.
Good.
All right?
All right.
So as long as you have it – now, I will say, though, you can't go with COBRA – and then tell Medicare that you had COBRA. You have to immediately sign up for Medicare within 8 months of when you leave the company and start COBRA. So COBRA can keep you insured, but it doesn't extend the time when you have to start applying for Medicare B. All right?
All right. Very good. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
I don't know that we're going to be able to get Michelle right away. Let's go and ask her a question, okay?
All right.
Well, Michelle, how can we help you?
Well, I'm a 72-year-old woman living in northern Baltimore County.
Okay.
And, I'm thinking about getting long-term care insurance.
How old did you say you were?
72.
Man, you're going to spend a lot of money on a long-term care insurance policy.
How much money are we talking about?
It depends on the way you get the insurance, but it easily could be $10,000.
Okay.
At 72 years, and I don't even know, and it all depends on do you have any medical record of any negative consequences? They could just deny the coverage altogether.
No, I have no negative record of anything.
Let me do this, Michelle. Can you hold on? I want to explain more of this to you and some other options you might have, okay?
Okay.
All right, you hold on, and we're going to go to this traffic pause, and we're going to come back and answer more of Michelle's question. But if you want to get online and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're going right to Michelle. Let's go to Michelle there, Maddie.
All right. Hi, Michelle. Welcome back.
Hello.
Yeah, Michelle. Okay, so you're 72 years old. You're in good health. You'll still be surprised at how they're going to underwrite you if you did decide to buy a long-term care policy. But, you know, once you're over like 60 years of age, the cost of long-term care starts to skyrocket. So you just have to be careful of that. And you have to be really careful about agents, because agents will do everything and anything they can to sell that policy to you. And you need to make an informed decision. And I don't want to discourage you from buying long-term care. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just want to make sure that you make a good, informed decision as to whether it's a good thing to do. Now, are you single or married? You said you're single, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm widowed. Both of my children and my husband, are dead, so I have no relatives to take care of me.
Okay, well, I mean, did you realize that if you run out of money, the federal government would have to take care of you anyway? Or didn't you want to, you know, worry about that?
Well, how would the federal government take care of you? I mean, didn't they put you in some terrible place?
No. That's not the way it works. That's the way people think it works, but that's not the way it works. So if you're in a long-term care facility, more than likely the long-term care facility, if you run out of money, would have to just keep you. And then you would they would apply for Medicaid for you, and Medicaid would step in and pay your bills once your money totally runs out, if it would ever run out. So, you know, I don't know what pensions you have. I don't know what Social Security you have. I don't know what assets you have. But, I mean, if you have a reasonable amount of income coming in anyway, and you have a reasonable amount of assets, you know, I would have a hard time telling you that you ought to be getting a long-term care policy when you have no relatives that you're worried about leaving the assets to.
Right. If I had to pay this out of my pocket, I'm in the hospital for 3 years or something in a facility, how much would that be a month? It's going to be more than $10,000, right?
It depends on where you live and so forth, but it could run anywhere from, let's call it, $9,000 a month to $15,000 a month, depending on the type of place that you're in and so forth. I'm assuming that you have some good friends and so forth, people that would be attentive to your what's going on with your care and so forth if you were in a long-term care facility, yes?
Nope.
No, you have any cousins or... anyone that would know? We had two or three clients that had no family whatsoever, and we were the ones that would watch over them. I know my lawyer friend Jeff Higdon, he does that a lot. If he has a client that doesn't have any, he's the one that watches over them and makes sure that care is being done right and so forth. So you ought to find somebody that can help, you know, make sure that things are, but have you ever considered a life care facility? Do you have a reasonable amount of income and assets?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever considered a life care facility? So
I've never heard of that.
Okay. So you ever heard of Broadmead or Edenwald?
Yes.
Okay. Those are life care facilities. So you go in there, you give them a hunk of money, and you pay them a monthly amount. And no matter what level of care you need, they take care of you for the rest of your life. As long as you can afford it, the day you go in, they take care of you the rest of your life, no matter what level of care and no matter what level of need you have.
Oh.
Even if
you run out of money.
Yes, they actually always do have a benevolent fund. But you see, if you go in and you can afford it the day you go in, you can afford it for the rest of your life, because no matter what level of care you need, they never raise the cost of the facility to you. It's built into the original cost when you buy in. Like Broadmead might cost you $500,000 or $600,000 to go in initially, and then $5,000 or $6,000 a month. And as long as you can afford that the day you go in, they take care of you. As long as you pay $5,000 or $6,000 a month for the rest of your life, they'll take care of you.
Okay, so is that medical too?
Everything.
Everything, wow.
Well, keep in mind, Medicare takes care of all your medical. It's the custodial care that the life care facility takes care of. Now, this is very different than Oak Crest and Charlestown. Those are different type of facilities. You have to find a life care facility. Where do you live, approximately?
Maryland Line.
Maryland Line, way up there. Okay, well, you know, right there in Lancaster is one of the greatest life care facilities you'll ever find. That's called Willow Valley. You ought to go up and visit it. And, that would really take great care of you. And it's a great facility. While you're independent and healthy, it's a great place to live. You'll make more friends than you could ever dream of. You ought to go visit it one day.
All Okay, so getting back to long-term care, I read something many years ago that if the insurance company pays the provider directly, the patient does not have to pay any taxes. But if the patient is given the check, then you get a 1099 and you have to pay taxes. Is that right?
No, it's not right. Okay. Basically what happens is when long-term care pays out, they give you what's called a 1099 LTC, and mm-hmm. then you have to show how much you actually paid in long-term care expenses versus how mm-hmm. much they gave you. And that's why they're saying if the insurance company is paying directly every bill, they don't have to mm-hmm. give you the long-term care 1099. But if they give you the money, they give you the form, you just report how much you actually paid, and it'll offset, and you won't pay anything. If you get more than what you actually paid for long-term care, yeah, you will have some income there. Mm-hmm. And there are policies that do that. But in your situation, what I'm hearing, my thought goes to life care facilities. And, okay. and you ought to consider that. And if you're happy living in, the Northeast, I would definitely go look at Willow Valley, you know?
Okay.
I think you'll be surprised.
If I need somebody to look after my affairs financially, you're saying this Jeff Hilton, Higdon?
Higdon, but in Pennsylvania, if you moved to Pennsylvania, we'd need a lawyer up there like Kristen Snyder. She would do that and so forth. So,
okay.
You ought to talk to somebody like us and say, help me work this out so that I don't make a mistake and make an emotional decision. All right?
Okay.
I got to run.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good call. Very good questions. I don't think we have a lot of time to get to some of our other callers right now, do we?
No, we've got about 20 seconds before we got to go.
Buddy and Anthony, I hope that you hold on for us because... I'm sorry we got tied up with Michelle there, but that was a great question she had and an interesting situation that I think a lot of our listeners might have benefited from. So anyway, we got to take a pause right now, Maddie. Hard break, 6:29.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth here with Madeline Bennett. And we have an open show tonight. Buddy's on the line. We're going to go to him in a second. I just want to say if you want to get on, there's at least two or three lines open. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 to call and ask your question. And like we gave Michelle a good bit of time because she had a very interesting question. Let's go to Buddy and see what we can do for him.
All right. Hi, buddy. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Doing great. Well. How are you?
Great. Quick question. I have a 401k that had a little over $400,000 in it. I'm 56 years old. Plan on retiring at 62. And obviously, I lost about 10% so far. It's down about 370. It's been up and down a few thousand dollars over the last, few months with the market and inflation, et cetera. My plan was to retire at 62, and I was wondering if I should maybe just take the 10% penalty, get the money out, reinvest it somewhere, or just sit on it. I got, another $250,000 in savings, and my Social Security, I should get about $3,500 a month. The problem is Social Security is still there, which also scares me. They're telling me that's not going to be there. So I want to get your thoughts. Should I...
Yeah, so let's address that, buddy. So, I can't tell you what the future's going to do, so I don't know. But what I can tell you is that historically, markets recover from these downturns. And when they recover, people who sold out always end up being the losers. And there are some things that I would look for to be concerned about that maybe markets wouldn't recover. And none of those things are present at the moment that would make me fearful that maybe the markets won't recover this time. And those things are rare. Those things have happened in Argentina, Venezuela, Russia, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, would really concern me. But the U.S. is still an economic powerhouse, will continue to be. And the amount of technology that's ready to come on to the world circuit, you know, I mean, you think about all the technology, how it's driven the market gains over the last 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 years, if you really want to argue it, is nothing compared to the technology that's ready to come into the commercial marketplace in the next 5 to 10 years at the most. Autonomous vehicles, just autonomous vehicles alone is going to be a technological revolution that will dramatically change the landscape of our country and the world, and it will bring economic prosperity like you have no idea. You know, EV vehicles and renewable energy, what that's about to do and the cost savings that it'll bring. Now, you know, I know there are people out there saying, oh, EV can't do this and renewable energy can't do that. You know, I hear all those arguments, but let me tell you something. There's more sunlight that hits the earth every day that could be turned into energy that could power the entire world three times with the amount of energy that hits the earth, or it's even more than that from what I've read. Solar technology is getting better and better and better and better and better. And, you know, battery technology, that's ready to make a dramatic increase into the future, because now companies, free market companies, are looking and saying, hey, you know, batteries are important now. Batteries going into vehicles instead of gasoline, and batteries into houses to store energy when the sunlight's not there. Batteries, 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 and the amount of technology and innovation going into batteries is astronomical right now. And there's going to be breakthroughs in that are the metaverse. You know what the metaverse is? You know, right now we deal with 2D, two-dimensional videos and so forth. Well, the metaverse is going to make everything three-dimensional. And we will be living in a three-dimensional virtual world as opposed to just a two-dimensional virtual. Those are just some of the things that are about to come about. And to me, it would be a mistake to think that the world is coming to an end, because here's an interesting thing to always remember. I'm listening to all these negative, you know, people who are making predictions today, and they were all around in 2008, and I never heard a peep out of them. I never heard a peep about, you know, the negative things that were hitting our country in 2008, which were incredibly negative, that I was extremely concerned about, because it could have wiped out the banking system back then. But today, they're all out there saying, oh, this is horrible, this is horrible, this is the end of the world, et cetera, et cetera. Well, where were they in 2008? Never saying anything in 2008 and 2009. And there's a behavioral theory of human beings that they always are trying to make up for their lost error, their errors of the past. And so they missed it 10, 12 years ago. They're making sure that they make their predictions today so they don't miss it for this one. And you know what? They're probably going to be wrong. So I wouldn't sell out, but I can't guarantee you what the future holds.
Oh, no, I agree with you. But I worked with a gentleman in 2008 when I was a lot younger, and he was kind of the same position I was. He had like $1.7 million, and he was ready to retire. He's just doing the job for fun. And all of a sudden, 2008 hit, like you said, and he literally lost, he went $800,000. So knowing the gentleman, he was ready to retire fully, and he had to get some part-time jobs I don't want to be in that position, so I don't want to.
No, but you see, what I'm trying to say is that in 2008, the banking system was in serious trouble. And when your banking system or your sovereignty of your country are in serious trouble, those are the things that you have to worry about. Neither of them are present today, though I do think that you could see another, you may see another 10, 20% down in the market. But, you know, it could prove to be very short-lived. And if you sell out, you know, you may find yourself, you know, not being able to get back in when you need to be in. And, you know, so I can't tell you what the markets are going to do, but history is tend to say your friend, yeah, he was down at 800,000, but by the end of 2010 and 11, he had recovered most, you know, not all, but he had recovered most of it by then.
Fair enough.
If he didn't sell out, if he didn't sell out, if he sold out, then he stuck with $800,000.
Yeah, he lost it basically overnight, and then, like I said, just continued work, golf courses, part-time jobs. Felt sorry for the man. He was like 67 years old. I'm retiring at 62, no matter what happens. But oh, side note, my 401, I'm sorry, Social Security says I get $3,500 a month. There's, you know, the rumors mill that Social Security is going away in 6 years when I retire.
Look, I got to run, but let me just say this to you. Social Security, the people that run the Social Security Administration print the money that our country operates off of. So don't ever hear and listen to the bull that Social Security is going to go bankrupt. Their United States government will never let that happen. They print the money that pays those checks. And the politicians are too stupid, you know, to fix it today. But when they get into push comes to shove, they'll fix it. Like they did back in 1982 and every other time. I got to run. Let's go to Dave in Parksville.
All right. Hi, Dave.
Dave, you there?
And your guest speaker. I was calling about your comment earlier about LifeCare facilities and their benevolent fund and the difference between Broadmead, the other one in Towson, and Oakcrest. And
Edenwald. Okay.
Yeah, Edenwald, and the difference between the way they handle that. Can you explain that, what the difference would be?
Well, no, what I was saying, Dave, was that in Oakcrest and Charleston, or Charlestown, you pay maybe $3,000 a month, and every time you get into a higher level of care, like assisted living, you're going to go up to $8,000 a month. And then when you get into a full nursing care, you're going to pay $15,000 a month or something like that. I've even seen as high as $16,000 or $18,000 a month that they charge. Okay. So, correct. But with Edenwald and Broadmead, if you go in, you give them a lump sum of money and you pay maybe $5,000 or $6,000 a month. I'm talking single people. You know, you may pay $5,000 or $6,000. If you're married, it might be $6,500 or something like that, but you'll never pay any more than that money. So you, basically, your long-term care is built into that monthly rent that you pay them, and no matter what level of care you need, they will continue to take care of you.
Okay, very good. That explains
but
that.
But both of them, if you run out of money, both of them will not kick you out. They both have benevolence funds. But with Edenwald and Broadmead, there's no reason to even worry about that, because if you can afford it day one when you move in, chances are you can afford it all the way to the end of your life, because you never have any big increases. All right?
Very good. I understand. Thank you very much.
All right, Dave. We got to go take another pause. Richie in Essex, I hope you'll hold on with us. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show. We had Richie on the line, but I don't think he's there anymore. Do we have any callers online, Maddie?
No, no callers as of now.
Okay, so we've got a couple minutes left. Well, 10 minutes, easy to answer at least two or three questions between now and the end of the show. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Manny, I want to address something that I was talking with Sean Casey today about, and that is annuities. And, you know, annuities have been hawked and sold to people for forever, but they really started to get sold in a big way in the last 10, 12 years. And, you know, people, you know, doing radio shows and commercials, and they're talking about these annuities as if they're the greatest things since sliced bread. And, you know, you got to get in and you never worry and everything's taken care of and so forth. So first off, you know, there's a great exaggeration as to what annuities really are. Nobody should be foolish enough to think that an insurance company is going to give you anything that is dramatically of benefit to you compared to them. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second is, when these people were selling these annuities, they were typically getting a 10% commission to sell them. Now think about that. You put in $100,000, Maddie, and the insurance company says, Drew, great job. Thanks for selling that $100,000. Here's $10,000 for you, Drew. Now, if in today's world of the internet, if something is really, really good, right? Do you really need to pay a salesperson a 10% commission to sell it?
No.
No, you would just put it online and say, here's this great product. You can buy it from us, and there's right. No commission. There's no nothing. Come and get it. And people would flock to it, you know, but because they were mediocre, if that is the good way to put it, they needed to give these sales commissions out. And you know what? They also tend to give sales incentives out. You know, that means that if you sell like $10 million worth of it, not only do you get 10% or $1 million for selling that stuff to people, but then they'll send you on a trip to somewhere really nice for like 6 or 7 days. And you know, you know, if you're logical thinking, you're saying, well, wait a minute, how can you pay somebody that much money if this is a good deal for me? And the answer is, it probably wasn't.
Right.
Now, here's the point. The point is that these annuities now can be purchased with no commission whatsoever. So there's plenty of companies out there now that are offering these same annuities that you're hearing about, with all these guaranteed incomes, and you know, and they make it sound like it's a 5 or 6% rate of return. Nothing could be further from the truth, but there are companies now that'll do all the same things that the ones that are being sold to people without commissions whatsoever. And if you're going to buy an annuity, you need to do it without commission. And if you do it without commission, you could have something that is at least reasonable and not horrible when you consider all the money that's being paid to the people selling it to you.
Right.
So, and here's the last point that I want to make on this. And that is that the people who sell these to the public, they know that there's a 10-year surrender charge. So if you leave that contract within 10 years, the insurance company says, wait a minute, I paid Drew 10% to sell this stuff to you, and now you're trying to get out before I've recouped all my money that I need to recoup from fees that I'd have charged you, you know, selling this product. And therefore, I'm going to hit you with a surrender charge and get back all the money that I still have outstanding that I paid the agent that you haven't reimbursed me for. So in the first 2 or 3 years, it could be the full 10%. In the next 3 or 4 years, it could be only maybe 6%. And in the last few years, maybe it's only 3%. But still, there's a surrender charge. Well, here's what the agents do, Maddie, is they keep a tickler file in their CRM system that says, hey, I sold Maddie that annuity for $100,000 on June 28th, 2012. Well, guess what? On June 28th, 2022, look, my tickler file says that that annuity is going to be void of sales charges now. There are going to be no sales charges. So I should be in touch with Maddie, and I should set up an appointment to go see her and tell her about all the new annuities that I'm going to get a new 10% commission on, and I'm going to sell you a new one and tell you all the new bells and whistles that are going to be on this one and why you should get rid of that old one and buy the new one. And to me, that is downright criminal. But, you know, technically they can do it. And if you buy it, you know, there's nothing that they're doing illegal, and you couldn't, you know, file a liability lawsuit against them or anything, because insurance agents aren't subject to a fiduciary responsibility. And what you should do if you have an old annuity, you should be looking to the people who will do it for you fee only, or no commission is really what it should be. It should be no commission. And if somebody's going to put fees on it, you know, you should be able to get out of it anytime you want to without penalty, period. And that could make the policy possibly reasonable. Anyway, I just wanted to go over that because I know that there's probably a lot of CBM listeners who have annuities who, you know, may be getting in contact, people getting in contact with them saying, hey, the 10 years is up. You know, it's time to look at the new ones that I'm going to make a new 10% commission on. And you're going to make me even richer than I'm already am. And you're going to get a mediocre product. But that doesn't bother me, because I'm getting a new 10% commission.
Right, and a nice trip with it.
And possibly a nice trip if I get enough of you to agree to do
right.
it. So anyway, it's how the industry works, unfortunately. That's why we believe that professional financial advising is should arise, and nobody should be calling them a financial advisor unless they're independent of insurance companies and brokerage firms. They should be experienced. They should be credentialed. They should be educated in personal finance, not just educated in anything and everything. They should be educated in personal finance, and they should be fee only, not take commissions, not take referral fees, and they should be first and foremost a fiduciary, absolutely held to the fullest standard of the law, saying that, you know, you have to have sound reasoning and avoid as much as possible conflicts of interest. And if you have a conflict of interest, you should disclose it to me before you can, you know, possibly present this idea to me. Anyway, that's just me rambling there, Maddie.
It's all good information, though.
Anyway, we're, you know, guess what? We're out of time. I didn't even have to wait for another caller to come online.
No, we
didn't. Madeline, this is a great time being with you. Look forward to the next time we have you on the show as a co-host.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Things are gonna